think it's a good thing to put into our drinking water system is beyond me, and they're just doing their job.
Study history. Once again, fluoride was used in the concentration camps. It's being used in prisons to dumb down the population. And it's exactly the same here. It's used there to cope so that they can control you, to just numb you down. Yeah. It is, and it's just the mind behind it. It's just incredible, and that people accept it. And now with these smart meters, I once again, please, I beg you, inform yourself about these awful, awful little machines.
Absolutely.
They are lethal. They're called smart meters. They should be called something much worse.
Well, the word smart itself is you know, when you get a smack or if you get caned, your body will be smarting. And believe me, we'll be smarting after these bloody little bastards are put into our homes.
There's an excellent documentary, I believe it's called Take Your Power Back, mm-hmm. about smart meters. Please watch that. And be aware that these smart meters are installed without you knowing it. They sneak them in there. They just update them, as they say, for your benefit. And your benefit will be very, very awful type of benefits. Health-wise, they're really, really lethal.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been talking about smart meters now. I had a show about smart meters. Jesus, nearly 1.5 years ago, and that was when we found out that they were thinking of rolling them out and that they had tested 600 of the units somewhere in Ireland and didn't know where, and we were trying to find out where they were being tested, and we were going to knock on the doors of those houses and, you know, tell them what they were, because we'd already found out that they were using them in a couple of what we would call housing estates, if you like, or lots in America, in California, and in those areas they've now banned them, because not only were children getting tumors, but they also were killing in the vicinity of the area most of the fauna and flora.
They're lethal. They're really awful, very evil thing. If people if I were anyone listening to this, I would go check your electrical meter. If it's most of the time it's round and there's a little red light that flicks, blop, 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 yeah. blop, like this. If you got one of those, that is a smart meter.
Yeah.
And this one controls your whole existence. It will, through that, they can see exactly what you're doing, how often you use the shower, how often you use the, you know, what you surf on the internet, when you put the TV on, off, how many times you shower, electricity, the phone, all of these things. But also it's sending out a wireless signal that is so violent that they made studies of the red blood cells. If you're anywhere near them, the blood cells just get ripped to pieces. It is a very, very awful thing, that smart meter.
Absolutely. I mean, just to let people know, there is a website, Rick Fields has popped it into the chat room, at smartmeterdangers.org. If you look at that website and find out more about the smart meters. Also, there's a few interviews I had with Walter Graham a while back, and maybe we'll get Walter on again to see about the updating. And then Rick Fields says it's rollout day to day in the UK for smart meters.
What does that mean? Roll out day?
It means that today is the day when they are starting to roll them out. In other words, they are going to start fitting them various places around the UK.
Well, this is a perfect time then to get this out there, because the thing is that if they don't tell you that they install them, but if you do not say, normally the legal system is so that if you do not oppose it, if you do not say no, that means that you comply, that you say yes to it. So you need to stand up and say, I am not accepting this. And here in Spain, we're a small group of people who are starting like a website against smart meters, where you will be able to download and print out forms, exactly fill in how this should be put together, so that they cannot do it without your approval. And I would say, my God, get these awful things away from people. Watch the documentary, Take Your Power Back. It's very, very good and very scary.
No, okay. Well, obviously we can't. Listen, Rick Fields is asking for a poem. I asked him to pick a number, but he hasn't.
I want one as well.
Well, tell you what, Ollie, you pick a poem. You pick a number.
Between 78.
78. Let's have a look what's on 78. You're going to have to buy my book at some point, Ollie. No, I'm only joking.
Yay.
Page 78. Boom, 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 boom. Ah, here we go. I lived in England a long time. We were just talking about Bob Geldof and his cohorts, who he's an Irishman, and he's over there helping the rollout of these smart meters. This is basically a little poem I wrote when I first arrived 27 years ago into Ireland from living in England. And it goes like this. I've returned to my father's land to tell you lots of stories, to warn you of the coming threat of wolves in sheep's clothes, Tories. Don't believe the lies, or in England put your trust. They'll squeeze you until your spirit's gone and you're left without a crust. You have a choice, a democratic right, to live a life of freedom. Your children, they'll be forgotten if left to the United Kingdom. Make sure you have a say in decisions that will affect your lives, or they'll be hurried through the courts of law like hidden sharpened knives. Then we'll be told it's what we asked for all along, and the innocent politicians will be allowed to do what's wrong. There you go. So that's, oh, I seem to have lost Ollie, but so he might have to listen to that one on the podcast, hopefully. But Rick Fields has saved me bacon by asking for page 11. Well, page 11 in the book is a poem. I'll just get to it. It goes from page 10 to 11, and it's called In Your Memory, and really fits in with the fact that I did live in England before I came over here to tell people about that I had returned to Ireland. This was when I thought that the vote counted and that we really should stand up and be counted and use our votes and try and change things. And there was Margaret Thatcher getting in every bloody 4 years. I could not believe it. So in the end, I wrote this poem, and it's called In Your Memory. And it goes like this. Looking backwards through tinted glass, picking up broken pieces of the past, wishing my next breath was my last. Well, the Union Jack's flying, but it's at half-mast. Politics, religion, have you got enough bread? Worth your weight in gold until you're dead. When you're dead, the National Health might buy another bed. In your memory. Time for an election, but it's come too late. Getting rid of the world that you and I hate. It needs all of us caring if we're to demonstrate. But who am I to tell you? Who am I to dictate? Leaders try and tell you that you are number one. Then through their greed and ego wars, they arm you with a gun. But don't you realize who it is, having all the fun in your memory? Rise up. Stand proud. This all belongs to you. We all know what we want to see and what things spoil the view. So come on, let's get together and see more than red, white and blue. Every action in our lives can make our dreams come true. The future generations, they'll just thank us for our actions in this cause. And all we try to do is to kick down all those doors and put an end to poverty and God's forsaken wars in your memory. Are you back with us, Ollie?
I am indeed. That was beautiful, Sean.
Well, listen, that was actually a poem that was chosen by Rick, number 11, but you got cut off while I was doing the one for you.
I did.
So listen, that it'll be on the podcast and I'll be getting that to you. I'll stay up a wee bit late after tonight and make sure this podcast is up early enough for you.
Excellent. Thank you.
So you can have a listen. So listen, we've got a quarter of an hour left. Hasn't that time just flown, Ollie?
Yeah.
Yet again. I mean, it seems to be that, like, you're just full of this information, and there's plenty, plenty more. I mean, we haven't really gone heavily into, you know, the coup d'etat, the book itself, and about, was it the Swedish Prime Minister?
It was the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme, but he was himself part of the global elite, and that was one of the reasons he was taken out, very involved in many of these things that we have been talking about. But it is also, it's, it shows all the connections internationally, because this was not a Swedish assassination.
Right.
It was an assassination ordered by the same elite group to take him out, but it was done. It was one murder in a long row on murders that was done internationally.
And what was the mainstream story on that one? I mean, we won't get into the ins and outs, because that's another whole show, isn't it?
I did nine hours on Red Eye's creations about this assassination. It's very, very complicated.
Right. Okay, well, we won't go there. But what was the mainstream story?
The official story?
Yes.
A long crazy guy, standard.
Really, that was it?
Yeah, but in my book, Coup d'etat in slow motion, I got the names and photos of all the people involved, who drove the escape cars, who did the shooting, who were the walkie-talkie guys, the Swedish police officer involved in the whole thing, how the assassins were flown in, where the orders came from, all of these things, names, photos, all of it.
Yeah, you've really gone to town on this one. And are you 100% certain that all your information is correct now that you've gone so far and deep into it? Or are there still some sort of loose ends that you don't know quite whether it's right or wrong?
You can never be 100% sure. What I've done is I put together the jigsaw puzzles. No, the jigsaw, the pieces of a massive jigsaw puzzle. But I put it together so that people can make up their own mind, do their own investigation. But it's almost 1,100 pages.
Yes.
You know,
I'm only halfway through it, Ollie. So, you know,
I know. And it's not really meant for the normal person to read the whole thing. It's more meant as a Bible of facts for somebody who's really into it, like a history book almost. But the idea is for anyone with just a small interest in these things to look through it and say, okay, you got the official story, long crazy guy who went up behind him, shot him for no reason at all. And then you have like almost 900 pages with loads of information, photos, names, maps, top secret documents, all of these things showing a totally different picture that 99.9% in Sweden don't even have an idea about. They have no clue. And I've tried to get this book published for decades, and I'm still here today selling it as an ebook because nobody has dared. I even signed a contract with an American publisher just before New Year, and then it was canceled just before printing because due to technical problems, whatever that means. And so it's been named a bomb of truth by Michael Moore's agent in Sweden, who said, if I publish this, I'm going to be sued from here to the moon. So it's many of these assassinations and so on. There are no brainers.
Right.
You know, also like 9/11, anyone who takes a little time to look at the facts, you know, instead of just ridiculing people like you and me and laughing at them. It's like you take the Pentagon. I think we spoke about that last time.
We did, yeah, with the wingspan.
Where this whole plane, it's a massive big 757. I mean, with a wingspan 37 meters, I think, and it's, I don't know how many meters high and so on. It disappears into a small little hole the size of a missile.
Yeah.
Okay.
Smart,
yeah. The whole, if you look at the Pentagon before, it had been reinforced at the exact point where it was hit. And the day before 9/11, I just want to point out also that 9/11, exactly 10 years earlier, was the date when George Bush Sr. went out and presented the New World Order for the first time. Then on exactly the same date, 9/11, they loved that date, was when this happened, when they took this out. And then you have this plane that hits the Pentagon. And where did it hit? It hit right in the office that we're looking into, an incredible amount of money that had disappeared. The day before 9/11, on the 10th of September, no, on the 8th of September, 10th of September, Donald Rumsfeld had a press conference, and he called the press and he said, listen, we have a major problem here. And so they said, so what's going on, Donald? Well, we're really, really sorry, but we seem to have mislaid $2.3 trillion. Do you know how many zeros that is? $2.3 trillion. We have no idea where it's gone, but we're really going to look into it. Now, the office that was hit by the plane or the missile, whatever makes more sense, was, and the people killed, all of the, or most of the people killed were part of the group that looked into where these $2.3 trillion had disappeared. And this was never really mentioned after 9/11 because so people were so focused on what happened.
Yeah, we kept on shouting and shouting and shouting about it. Look at the distraction. Look what's happening. Look what's happening. And nobody fucking went for that. The fact that they lost all this gold, this money, yeah. It just disappeared, etc. It's amazing people didn't look at that.
And then to buy the story, because the official story to this very day is that the plane actually vaporized due to high heat.
Well, so did some of the buildings coming down. They just, you know, fell into their own footprint for feck's sake. I mean,
yeah, but yeah. They didn't vaporize. They turned into dust.
Well, yeah,
but
okay.
Same thing there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, use your normal logic. If I came home and said, I'm sorry I lost your car, it vaporized, would anyone believe me? Could you imagine on the insurance papers filling them out?
Yeah.
Well, I had this plane. It was a 757. I would very much like a new one. The reason for its disappearance was vaporizing. Nobody would take you seriously, but this is what they want us to believe to this very day.
And I wonder, did the insurance companies pay out with that story?
And I tell you, many times when you look into so-called terror acts, the families of the victims are not being paid.
No.
Also, they say that these accidents, but were they actually being like the Estonia that was blown up, or many of these so-called accidents where the families of the victims are not being paid out money, even though it's officially an accident, the families do not receive the money.
No. No, it's quite incredible, isn't it, really? Look, do you know, we're coming to the end of our show, and when I say our, I mean your show, really, Ollie, because it's fantastic to have you and your wealth of knowledge on the show, and thank you once again for coming on Out of the Bag. You've been magical, and the stories about Whitney Houston and the stories about Bob Marley and John Lennon and Jimi Hendrix were just remarkably well wrapped around into the template you were talking about, really.
Thank you, Sean. Anytime you want me on, I'm right here. I've got a lot more. You know, my poor head is filled with this type of information.
Well, 9 hours of talking about the Swedish Prime Minister would be quite interesting, wouldn't it?
Up to you. Whatever. If I can make a difference for the better, I'm right here. Count me in.
Okay. Well, look, I'm going to finish off the show now, and the best way to finish it off, I thought, and it's me just being a bit smart, and I don't mean a smart meter type of smart, is that I thought we'd finish off with Mind Games by John Lennon. What do you think?
Could I finish with a prayer before?
With a?
Prayer.
A prayer? You can, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I normally do this. I'm not a religious person, but there's this prayer that I think is absolutely beautiful and stands okay. for what I stand for. It goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who hurt us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light.
Brilliant. Beautiful. And thank you. And Ollie Damagard, thank you for coming out of the bag. All you guys out there listening, thank you so much for listening and tuning in, and on your Facebook players, on my website, and especially those who come into the chat room. Don't be scared to ask questions, guys. Come on to the chat room. We'd love to see you in here. peoplesinternetradio.com. We definitely are going to take over this.
And Sean, if I can just mention, if anybody wants to support me, it's 30 years of my life I put into this. I've been hit really hard financially because I started naming some of these serial killers. And if anybody wants to support me, please buy my book. Please sign up for my newsletter or anything like that. My website is lightonconspiracies.com.
Absolutely.
I've written several books, but the one we're talking about is called Coup d'Etat in Slow Motion.
brilliant, and I can actually guarantee that it's a fantastic and outrageous read, and we'll fill you in on that template that you're talking about. True?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So listen, we'll finish off now, and hopefully Stephen Roberts or Gillian, I'm not quite sure who, will be on later with Cancel the Cabal or something similar. Not quite sure, but we'll have a look at that. Don't leave People's Internet Radio. Carry on having a listen. We're going to finish it off here with Mind Games by John Lennon. Ollie Damagard, thank you so, so much. And good night, everybody.
Thank you, Sean. My absolute pleasure.
Thank you.